The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
TLC was Sunday night along with CCW on Saturday. All that tonight as we talk about it, and Ace is going on a cruise. Find out the details tonight on Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
I don't want to go on a cruise.
You have to, brother.
I might have to.
You have to. What's up, guys? Shannon Young, Mr. 100, the Irish daddy himself here with you, hosting another week of great news and reviews and opinions here on PW, along with my co-host, Asa Gray, the five-star man.
Yes.
Allie, not actually a bear, but looks good in plaid.
Hello.
And the big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Well, where do we start at tonight, guys? Do you want to get the news out of the way and then go to those opinions? We have a lot to talk about when it comes to Raw, when it comes to TLC, and when it comes to CCW. So maybe let's get the other things out of the way first and then talk about those last. You guys good with that?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. All right. So Kenny Omega set to appear at Supercard of Honor 12.
Yes.
And that's also on a cruise that Asa will be going to.
Less confirmed. No, yeah, so the Ring of Honor announced that Kenny Omega is going to appear. We don't know what match it is. It may not even be for the United States Championship. He may not still be the United States Champion. He'll never lose that belt. He should never lose that belt. Give him both. All the belts.
You know he's going to lose that belt, right?
I know. But yeah, this is actually a kind of coming off of a string of ROH shows he's been booked on. So they're just getting that news ahead out of there. Because the last time that they announced it super early, the show like immediately sold out, or like immediately sold more tickets than Ring of Honor had seen sell during pre-shows in that time frame. So
Kenny Omega is the biggest star not currently signed to a WWE contract,
hands down.
Hands down,
100%.
Counting Okada, who's huge.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely is. Like, I'm not saying if Okada came over and wrestled,
he'd
in America,
sell well.
He would sell. I mean, he would probably sell
he
out.
He would do Kenny. He would be as popular. He just doesn't travel the world like Kenny does.
Yeah, as much. Yeah.
The only person that I would say that would match Kenny is the Young Bucks,
or maybe even Cody.
Cody's not there yet. Like I think he's getting there, and people are really kind of seeing what he's capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there is a success story of someone leaving WWE to find their own ground, like he's doing, I would say he's doing even better than what Drew McIntyre did when he left as Drew Galloway.
Yeah, and I think it's a good
The only thing, because he didn't win the TNA Championship, but he did. But he's the Ring of Honor champion.
And he made an impact.
He did.
On TNA.
Yeah, he also was, whenever Global Force was its own thing before that, he was also one of their champions as well. But I guess in America, I would say maybe Cody's a little bit higher, but it's because he doesn't do he's not as world traveled as Omega is at the current moment.
And with him, honestly, if he hadn't signed that exclusive deal with ROH for next year, but if he would have just continued to travel everywhere, that was way too
that
fast for Broadway.
Scary.
If he could continue to travel the world, which, I mean, he still can because it's just TV stuff he can't do, Cody could get there. I don't see a reason why he couldn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kenny Omega to me is an anomaly. I don't know. And I don't know why. It's just the amount of success he's had in both America and in Japan, and the fact that he's done so well in Japan. Money-wise, he's a freak of nature, and I feel like everybody should be after him, and the fact that he doesn't need it is so nice.
Right.
It's such a beacon of light for the people that think, well, I have to go to WWE to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't. But not everyone's going to be Kenny Omega is the thing, because he is legitimately, insanely talented.
It's the thing with, the Young Bucks and Cody, and Chris Jericho has even said, if you're going to be an independent wrestler, and, you're going 100% in, that's what you're doing, there's never been a better time money-wise and places to go than right now.
Yeah.
And it's 100% true. I guarantee you Young Bucks are making more money than a solid portion of WWE's roster.
Yeah.
And they get to set their own schedule. They get to take time off when they want. Part of the reason they're making that much money is because they don't take time off. The original episodes and still kind of current episodes of Being the Elite, of them just, okay, so we were home for 2 days. Now we're on 16 different flights in the next 24 hours to wrestle twice, and then we'll be home for 45 minutes, and then we're back on the road. The work ethic on all of them is just incredible.
Yeah, and it's one of those where it's kind of akin to the old territory system. groups. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's beautiful to see. That was the one thing for like the last 15 years that I said it was kind of hurting the wrestling business, in my personal opinion, is that you had WWE, you had WCW, you had ECW, and then you had the territories. And then WWE slowly but surely ate those up. Now we're going back to where WWE's kind of – I was talking to Jason Wells on a way to pick up Abyss this Saturday, or last week, and he was saying, WWE is losing numbers, but independent wrestling is becoming more popular and making more money.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a throwback to the old territory days, which is amazing to see because, like, if we weren't in that time, we wouldn't have our Billy Hills. We wouldn't have our Brandon Barbwires. We wouldn't have our Brandon Espinosas. We wouldn't have that because if you didn't see it in WWE, it didn't happen.
Well, and back in those days, I mean, those territories made a lot of huge stars too. Everyone you know from the 80s in WWF were territory guys. Hogan, Sergeant Slaughter, Ric Flair, obviously.
Most of the people from the 90s wouldn't have known if it wasn't for the territory. Like, most of Memphis was, I mean, Memphis was the OVW for WWF for the longest time. That's where, like, Stone Cold's working in Texas. You had The Rock doing his debut matches in Memphis to, like, be ready for WWF.
But, you know, growing up, because I grew up in the 80s and I didn't know anything about that. I didn't know about the territory system because, you know, there was no internet.
Yeah.
I didn't have closed circuit TV anywhere to watch a lot of the stuff. So I only knew WWF. It wasn't until the late 90s, early 2000s that I knew Jerry Lawler was more than an announcer on WWF TV. Mm-hmm. Like he was as big in Memphis as Hogan ever was in the United States. You know, Jerry Lawler really is the king of Memphis, but I didn't know. I just thought he was the obnoxious Bret Hart enemy, you know? And it's the same thing now today with the indies. Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And it's beautiful.
We have our own little territory here in Cape Girardeau, which is nice.
And there's so many just great places that, you know, we've been fortunate enough, Dalton and I, and you guys have come to, like, you know, cause we've traveled to Stride and then we've gone up to Glory Pro. Like 5 years ago, none of this was around.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, if you had to kind of hope that WWE would come through or that Ring of Honor or TNA would make an appearance in maybe St. Louis or somewhere, you know, 3-4 hours away.
Yeah, there was a couple of years ago, it was 3 or 4 years ago, that I think in a year's time I went to a live show of Ring of Honor, TNA, and WWE, and I think I may have had to drive 30 minutes out of my way to go see Ring of Honor, mm-hmm. but everything else was in my backyard. But again, that was an anomaly. That doesn't happen a whole lot. We're getting.
And now it's the thing where, okay, so we've had wrestling, live wrestling events 4 weeks in a row.
And then
and
there
it's
was.
Like, yes.
Yes,
there
we
was,
have.
Yeah, there was one week where Asa and I did two. Like, we.
Yeah, because we had
Chaffee, and then we went to Alton, Illinois to go watch Glory Pro. Mm.
And I just can't keep up with that kind of schedule. I just can't. Like, I can't. You guys are world warriors. You're the street fighters of indie wrestling.
No, we're not. We're fans. I will say that, like.
You're more than fans. At some point, have to drop Glory
Pro.
Oh, we're still fans. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. But, I wouldn't still be doing, like, the CCW stuff if I wasn't still a fan of it. Like, right. if it's not going to be a thing where it's something that I have to do.
It's not a responsibility.
Yeah.
No. Because when something's a responsibility, it's no longer worth doing.
And
unless you're getting paid for it.
Yeah. And this is just something that I love. Like, it's just, I love doing, you know, the stuff that we get to do with them. I love going to the shows. I love the roster. So it's just like, I'm still having fun. Like, I still, you know, like, I was super set. Like, I was super happy for you when you got the announcer position because you're doing great with it.
Thank you.
But I was super sad that you weren't going to be there in the, like, you weren't in the crowd with us.
I was super sad because, you know, we didn't talk about this on CCW Live because obviously that's more for CCW and this is more for us. But the whole show, so I'm back. Well, should we save this for, no, I'll just do this. The whole show, you guys are front row. Mm-hmm. You're watching the action and it's incredible. I'm back by Ken Murphy and at the ring bell and the curtain and stuff. And I just wanted to be up there with you guys. My original idea was to like stand with you guys, but it was so small in there and there's no way I was going to be able to do that without getting in somebody's way.
Especially with some of those matches.
Yes.
It was not going to happen.
I just missed you guys so much. And I remember watching the matches and I'm like, it doesn't feel the same, but you know, Barry warned us. Jason warned us. They warned us that Ken warned us. Yeah. The more you get involved with the business, the you see it differently and it changes. And you know, if it ever comes to a point where you're not enjoying it, and I was like, well, what is he talking about? That doesn't make sense. But then Saturday, sure enough, like I'm sitting back there watching you guys watch it, and there was a part of me that was like, I just want to be up there with them because we cheer and we do stuff and. Mm. It is what it is, and I love it. Don't get me wrong. Like, I had a blast Saturday night.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's something about being in that front row and watching these guys wrestle that you can't
Just letting yourself go and just enjoying
being a part of the show.
Because
how often in our lives now, especially us four, because we're all so busy, how often in our lives do we get to just be a fan of something? Because we're so involved in everything.
I mean, that's a big reason, like, why we – I mean, Stride, yes, we are fans for that. We really don't do, like mm-hmm. – aside from the publicity that we give them on the show, we don't really do anything for them. But, like, Glory Pro, that's straight up
– You're a stranger.
Yeah, yeah, and I love it. Like, don't get me wrong, I love doing CCW, but there's something to be said about going to a show and just watching it and not having to be like, all right, we're going to have to report on this, or, oh, we're going to have to figure out how to make that kind of call. Like, no, this is just – it's – we get to turn our brains off and enjoy it.
I will say that even like Stride and Glory Pro, like I will run, like I'll see something happen and I'll just be like, I wish I could call that. Oh, like I wish I like, and like that has not gone away yet. Like CCW, like every single, like the last two shows, I'm just like, there were instances where I'm like, I'm so excited that I get
can't wait
to, like,
to call that.
I'm super excited to be able to do like commentary for this.
And like, I love doing commentary, but that's how Asa and I differ. Cause like the Lucha Brothers Besties in the World match, mm-hmm. I think on the car ride home, I said, wow, I'm really happy I would never have to call that match.
I think that's just, you know, Lindsay and Stephanie would talk about how they can't watch movies without critiquing it because they're art majors and they're animation majors. And it's the same with wrestling. I think you guys all experience it too, that while you watch it, it's hard to just turn your brain off and be a fan. You still see stuff and go, oh, okay, well, this is how that was done. Oh, I would have done it this way. Oh, I can't wait to call that. You're constantly like, you're not just watching it and going, oh, I love wrestling. You're also processing how you would call it, what they're doing. Oh, I know that guy. There's just so many things that your brain picks apart.
See, yeah. But I kind of do both. Like that's, I think that's part of the thing. Like that's actually part of the fun for me.
Is being on both sides?
Yeah, it, like simultaneously, like if something goes wrong, like, oh, something, it's like my brain doesn't go to, oh, well, they messed that up. My brain goes to, how can I call that to where it makes sense and makes them look better? Like how, like that's just something that, like, that's how my brain goes. Like even watching WWE for a long time is like, that's something that they would do, is like they would try to, you know, cover mistakes up,
yeah,
commentary wise, and that's always something that I've appreciated. And yeah, it's fun to watch like Botchamania and see all the stuff that does go wrong, but it's one, but at the same time, it's like, I'm like, I just love wrestling. That's something that I've kind of realized like in the last couple months,
which is,
oh,
great,
yeah, because it's just like,
oh my god, go back to the start of Podzilla when mm-hmm. you covered wrestling with us at first.
Yeah,
and you didn't want to, you hated it, you didn't want to watch it, you said, I haven't watched this,
oh,
in
no
months.
Like CCW has hands down like totally
they
revitalized my
revivaled Jesus and
no wrong show.
You love it so much that you're gonna go on a cruise to see Kenny Omega fight Chris Jericho.
Oh yeah, we were talking about Kenny Omega.
Yeah. Full circle.
You brought up something to me, was it last night?
It was either last night or the night before.
You're like, hey, have you seen Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho on Twitter? Like, that's kind of intense. And I'm like, no, they're working people.
Because they're buddies.
Kenny Omega was on Chris Jericho's podcast. Like, Jericho spent like 5 solid minutes just praising his Okada matches. And the rumor,
but it worked. Look at the hook in my mouth.
Oh,
they got me.
And a lot of people. Like, if you go through those comments on any of the tweets that they've been putting out, it's ridiculous. But it's one of those things where now people are speculating that Chris Jericho has announced and has been selling tickets for, he's doing a cruise in next October.
Isn't it called like the Rock and Wrestling Cruise or
the
something?
The Rock and Wrestling Rager or something like
that.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what it is, the Rock and Wrestling Rager.
It's
Rager. Yeah, I said it right.
It's something like that.
Close
and
enough.
It's,
at least you tried.
He's going to bring, it's going to be like rock concerts, live wrestling. He wants to do all of this stuff. And it sounds like, it honestly does sound like amazing. If I could afford it and like I could afford to take the time off, I would go in a heartbeat.
I just want to go on a cruise. I've never been on one.
I'm scared to go on cruises. Like
Somali Pirates?
No, just open water.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, this would be a fine cruise for a Somali pirate to try and get on.
This would be, I would watch that movie.
Like, I hope they get Brian Cage.
WWE Films, if you're listening. I know
Somali
you are.
Pirates versus Chris Jericho's cruise.
Getting hit with guitars.
Starring Bradley Cooper.
Because
get these pirates off of my boat.
There you go.
It sounds like it would be a lot of fun, but it seems like they're, now everybody's speculating that, oh, the main event of that cruise is going to be Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega, which that match, gimme.
That's an all-star match.
Yeah.
That's a main event level match.
If it's like any other cruise, though, we're going to need a tournament, because I swear, like, don't get me wrong, I love Chris Jericho and I absolutely love Kenny Omega, but I'm not going to watch them wrestle 10 straight nights in a row.
I disagree. I think if there are two people that can put together 10 matches, like 10 matches, night to, like, back to back, and make them different and entertaining, it's those two guys.
I don't know. It's like, I love American Werewolf in London. I can't watch American Werewolf in London 10 days in a row.
See, but imagine if it was American Werewolf in London, except it
live,
was
live, and it was different
but
every
it was
time.
10 different directors.
Who are the directors?
I don't know. Pick, who are your 10
McG?
Who are your 10 favorite directors? Yes, McG is all, McG, Michael Bay,
Uwe Boll.
Speedweed.
Speedweed! That's the one I was thinking of!
Oh, when was the last time I made a Speedweed reference on here? All right, let's
reset the counter.
Let's move on. I'm excited about Jericho versus Omega. That's going to be good. And please let me know how that goes.
Let me know what happens.
Just, the bit is I'm just going.
You're just going. In fact, we're going to start a GoFundMe.
I was
going to
say,
to get Asa to go. Oh.
Don't think I would.
Dalton, set it up. Set up a GoFundMe.
If I'm setting it up, no. We're also raising money for both of us to go. I got some sick days to burn.
I suppose.
I'll have vacation days by then.
Whoop, we're going on a cruise.
Oh!
You never get a high five.
You just got bestied.
No, I got Ray Phoenix.
Oh, there it is. Adam Cole versus Drew McIntyre for the NXT title on the November 17th show, which is not TakeOver.
Yeah, this is not. It's not
this
TakeOver.
This is just a show.
You know I don't. It's is? Not even a live event. It's right. It's a live event. It's not even a
but it's not on
event.
The network.
Mm-hmm. It's a middle finger to Ring of Honor.
It's a middle finger to a lot of people because Shawn Michaels is going to be the guest ref.
Well, that's the
point. So big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Cody and the Bucks are going to be in San Antonio, or I think right next to San Antonio that same night.
That I don't
yeah,
know.
Because then they did the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes and Marty Scurll. Did a promo video about it saying, oh, you pulled out the big guns. All right, well, that being said, if you're throwing down the gauntlet, we'll throw down the gauntlet to you. Any McMahon that shows up at Ring of Honor will get a free front row seat. And then Marty Scurll's like, whoa, we get money from the door. All right, you got a good point. Any McMahon with photo ID gets 10% off their ticket. So they threw down the gauntlet to the McMahons.
And yeah, ROH has Survival of the Fittest night one.
So
in San Antonio that same night.
Here's the thing, kids. If your name's like Jesse McMahon, go to that show and you're like, you said it, bitch.
The little British man said it.
So Adam Cole versus Drew McIntyre, that match itself is insane, but the Shawn Michaels is the guest ref and this isn't going to be televised.
And it's
that feels like I'm being robbed.
But it's also Shawn Michaels' hometown.
Right.
So... yeah.
That still sucks, though.
Oh, yeah. No. Like, sucks hard. I would love to see that. I mean, we're going to be able to watch that match at War Games.
Bebe.
But it won't be. But it won't be.
Is that the next night?
I'm not sure. I don't know when War Games is. Because isn't it before Survivor Series?
Yeah. Isn't Survivor Series like 2 days before that?
I'll pull it up real quick.
Or after that? But yeah, no. The more.
I know. All right. So let me just say this. I know nothing about Adam Cole.
I tried to Google NXT War Games. And the top thing that popped up was Next War, India, Pakistan.
Is that going to be on the network?
Shut it down.
That's as good Shut as we're good. I'm retiring PZ85 right there.
Let's move on to the next story. Impact has...
Yeah, it is the next night. November 18th is War Games.
And then a week from that is CCW. Impact has split from GFW.
Officially, yeah.
And it couldn't come fast enough. Did you see the video of Jeff Jarrett wrestling up? This is what the promoter said. This isn't me saying, well, the internet's saying this. This is what the promoter that booked the event said, that Jericho was so Jarrett was so drunk that he could not perform, that he was asleep, that it was a major problem. He did a terrible performance. He left, said he would let them know about the next day because he was going to do it, never called him back. And they said, we're never working with him again. And apparently part of Jeff Jarrett's exile from Impact Wrestling is now GFW is no longer a part of it too.
So,
which by the way, Jarrett then said in a stupid move, he said that the reason this is all happening is because Anthem is out of money, that they no longer have the money to fund it, which Anthem then said, yes, we do. What are you talking about? Here's our next events.
Yeah, it's very much
it's getting nasty.
It's sad to see because like
especially with Jarrett being such a should be legend in the business.
And he very much has demons that he's struggling with right now. And it's one of those things where in the day and age that we live in right now, there's no secrets.
Right.
Yeah.
Like when this could have happened 20 years ago and no one would have known.
Right.
He burned a bridge at a single promotion. But he's not going to have trouble getting anywhere else. And honestly, like, he probably won't have a whole lot of trouble still
He's still Jeff Jarrett.
But now everybody's aware of these things that he's going through, like, with his addiction. And it's really sad to see. Apparently, also, part of the reason Anthem soured on GFW is because Jarrett promised them certain TV rights to things. Like, he had this ace in the hole great TV deal that he swore he could get them, and then he didn't get it.
Womp.
So, yeah, it's and
is it just me? Does this feel like Scott Hall? Now the videos are coming out. The rumor, like you said, no secrets. Mm-hmm. Scott Hall. I remember the match where he came out and couldn't even stand, and they had to walk him to the ring. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Jarrett's at that level, but this is one of those things where you're seeing somebody kind of fall apart before your eyes, and you hope that he gets that same kind of help that Scott Hall did. Yes, sir.
All right, now, and your Scott Hall was like that, or but are you meaning Jake the Snake?
No. There was.
Because I know they both have, but I didn't know which one you were definitely.
There is. I can't tell you the name of the event, but there's. I think it was on 30 on 30.
Where he had to be like,
they had to help him into the ring.
He was supposed to wrestle, but then they were like.
They wouldn't let him.
He couldn't.
He got there and is like, nope.
They got him in the ring to do the spin punch, and he literally slowly turned around and then hit this weak punch, which they then had to sell. Mm-hmm. And the crowd cheers because it's Scott Hall. And like, I don't know. To me, that's almost like, that's a hard spot to be in because obviously you're a fan and that's Scott Hall. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, man, that's like, that's not Scott Hall.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things. And like with the promoter, like I get why you have to do that because you dropped Scott Hall money.
Yeah. And
I don't
people know how, showed up to see
yeah,
Scott
Hall. Yeah. I don't know what Scott Hall money is. I just know you dropped Scott Hall money and you dropped that money expecting something. And then he gets there and you obviously can't do it. Then you're at a bad position of being like, all right, do I need to be a good businessman or do I need to be a good person?
Right.
Because it's one of those like,
and he found a kind of middle area. He didn't let him wrestle, but he still paraded him around and said, look at the dancing monkey.
Yeah.
So it's one of those where it's like, and it's the same thing with Jarrett is just like, I don't want to see, we've gotten to the point now in this day and age, the same thing we're saying with like, there's no secrets. There's also now no excuse to not try to help these people.
Yes. I'm glad you said that
because like, I mean, I'm not a big Jeff Jarrett fan. I never really have been, never really will be. But at the same time, I don't want to see what should definitely be a Hall of Fame career. End in tragedy like we have seen for the last 50 years in wrestling.
Yeah. Well, not just wrestling, entertainment.
But yeah. But like wrestling in particular, we've seen stuff like things like this happen way too much.
Yeah.
And we have a few redemption stories. We have the Scott Halls. We have the Jake the Snakes.
Pretty much anyone that works with DDP.
Yeah. So it's one of those where like I don't know if anybody would want to touch this man with a 10-foot pole to try to help him. But somebody needs to.
Well, it's not just that. Yeah, like, it's he also has to accept it. Because I'm glad you mentioned that because I've said for so long, you see so many celebrities and entertainment industry in general. You see these people falling apart and all the news stories and the publications, but nobody helps them. Amy Winehouse is a great example of that. Amy Winehouse, every time she was on the newspaper, it was, well, look, she's drugged up. She's drunk. She's deathly ill.
Why is no one helping her?
Yeah. You're exploiting her. Why aren't you helping her?
And like, I don't want to throw this on WWE because I know that's not been their issue for about 20 some odd years.
They help anyone that wants it.
Oh, I guarantee you they've offered.
I hope so.
There's the amount of times I think it's, I don't know if it was DDP or cause someone recently who they did help, like, oh no, they reached out to me years ago and I said no.
Tammy Sitch, they put her through rehab how many times?
They put X-Pac through so many times.
It might have been X-Pac where he, I don't know, like it was, cause yeah. It was fairly recently when they, cause they said like, oh no, they reach out to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and it's whether or not they want to take it.
But that's X-Pac or whoever it was compared to Jarrett, who has run. And I mean, I'm not saying they haven't. You just know, there's bad.
I get what you're saying.
He's done a warrior.
Yeah. He's probably at the end of a list saying people I want to help. But I would love to believe that just for the PR itself, that they would go, okay, we'll extend a hand to him.
But at that point, it doesn't need to be PR. We have somebody who's,
needs help.
Yeah. Needs help. And I mean, yeah, they need to want it too. Like, they need to want to get the help. But, like, I don't want this to be a, like, once a monthly thing where we're like, all right, and Jeff Jarrett has drunkenly shown up to another promotion.
Didn't X-Pac say that they offered to help China?
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm assuming they would have.
I want to say, I think someone, like, had mentioned that. And if they're willing to help China, they're going to be willing to help Jarrett.
Right.
Because they're very much, I feel like, on the same level.
But that, unfortunately, that is something we have no control over. We just hope that the right people reach out to the right people. Mm-hmm. But what we do know is that Impact and GFW are no more. Impact Wrestling is just Impact Wrestling again. They're still doing the Amped series. I think they had one episode left, which has just been a cluster F to begin with. Because they are presenting people that wrestled. Because these things were taped years ago.
Impact's doing such a good, like, they're doing such a good job now that, like, Bobby Roode made the
Bobby
jump.
Bobby Roode came back. You've seen it. He's the NXT champion at the time.
Shelton Benjamin.
That's sad. You remember, wasn't it you guys, I showed you that it was the Singh brothers. They were advertising them as the champions on the show.
GFW, yeah.
And I was like, how is this a thing? And you guys were like, Well, they were champions.
That's from years ago, right? Like, no, like last night. I'm like, yeah, because it was the same thing where the Bollywood Boys had won the GFW championships in like 2003.
Yeah,
I think so. That sounds right. But they only just now aired it.
Yeah, they're just piggybacking on people that are successful now.
They are piggybacking on the modern day Maharaja.
Oh, that is slacky. So sad. Here's something that's not sad. Okada is the longest reigning IWGP champion.
Yes,
the Rainmaker.
I want to say it was like 2 days ago. He passed 490 days, which was the record. So,
do you know who held the record before that?
Yes, but I'm not gonna say because I don't want you to know. Also, there are like three wrestlers who, and this is gonna sound bad, and I apologize. Their names are so similar
that you don't want to mess it up.
Yeah, that I don't want to embarrass myself by saying
I understand
Tanahashi instead of Takahashi, but yeah. I don't think it's either
you
of those.
Wait a minute.
So we were talking about the Midnight Meat Train today, which is a fantastic horror movie that we watched. It's a horror movie. It's really good. But the director is a Japanese director that also directed the movie Versus. And I was trying to tell Hunter and a couple of people who the guy's name was. And like, I kind of knew it, but also since I wasn't 100% sure, I looked it up because I did not want to sound like some jackass.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Jackass, you find that name yet?
Okay, yeah, it was Hiroshi Tanahashi. So it was Tanahashi.
It was Tanahashi.
Yeah. Tanahashi has the most reigns at 7.
Yeah.
What? Okada's on 4.
Okada is a bullet train full of gravy biscuits, and he's heading on to the dinner plate, and who knows when he's going to stop.
So he has the longest single reign, but not the longest, but he's not like most combined days as champion.
Good jump there, Evil.
Thank you. What?
I like Evil. His entrance is cool. He's got the scythe, the hood.
He's awesome.
His match with Okada was nuts, too, in the G1.
Asa, tell me about the King of the Ring.
Okay, so this is one of those things where I can't find an actual source on other than PW Insider, which they are very hit and miss.
Yes, they are. That's why I stopped going there. Yeah.
But it's one of the things where it's neat enough that, like, I think it would be fun, especially for Dalton, because the rumor is that they are still wanting to do the UK show that was supposed to debut, like, sometime in October, I think. Is what they said they wanted to shoot for. However, now it may not be a network. It may not be a network exclusive. It would be on the network, but they're trying to get an ITV deal in Great Britain. So, and the name of the show featuring these UK superstars would be the King of the Ring. And on the one hand, like, that would be neat, like, to give those guys a solid platform with a storied, you know, show name. But on the other hand, I love me a wrestling tournament.
Yeah.
I love the King of the Ring. I hate what they've done with it over the last, like, 15 years.
Yep.
But I don't want...
Everything post-Billy Gunn, pretty much.
Yeah. And just,
When I was a kid growing up, again, you know, back before there were pay-per-views all the time, the only pay-per-views I could tell you was King of the Ring, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series and WrestleMania. Those were my five. Like, I know they were the big four. Mm-hmm. The King of the Ring wasn't a part of the big four. But King of the Ring was just as important to me because I loved the tournaments as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, when they did away with the Survivor Series style matches, I hated it. When they did away with the King of the Ring stuff, I hated it. When it became a Raw, like, tournament.
Yeah.
Like, I hate that. You can't get rid of it. You're telling me you're putting more money into Balls of Fire than the King of the Ring?
Those Balls of Fire were great. I like how it took a second for everybody. The idea that I had for King of the Ring.
Why is that what broke him?
I don't know. Oh. Mr. Glass.
Just say it, Allie.
The
what?
Everything breaks him. She said that on CCW.
Oh, yeah, I did. I mean, it does.
My idea that I had for King of the Ring was for have it be the pay-per-view before the Royal Rumble. The winner of the King of the Ring gets a championship match at the Royal Rumble. Because the championship match at the Royal Rumble always feels like a kind of a throwaway.
Right.
Because no one really cares about, like, everyone always only cares about the Rumble.
Right.
So have the King of the Ring either be, okay, you get your championship match at the Royal Rumble, and if you can hold it through there, that's your WrestleMania main event. Or the winner of the King of the Ring gets to pick their number in the Royal Rumble. Give the winner something to do other than have to wear a crown and pretend to be British for 4 months until they forget.
And see, what really sucks about that is I remember how great the King of the Ring was when I was a kid. Remember King Macho? The Macho King, Randy Savage?
All right. What time? Because you just reminded me, or whoever said act British for 4 months. There was one good King of the Ring in the last 15 years.
Booker T's.
Yes.
No,
I was going to say William Regal. Yeah.
Booker T and William Regal. Like, those were the, even though the best thing that they gave William Regal with the King of the Ring win was on a video game. when he had the knights table or the round table, and it was like Sheamus and Finlay, and yeah, like I loved, like that should have been on TV.
Just seeing him though, when he sat down and he did the crying thing that like Alexa Bliss does. Mm-hmm. God, I love William Regal.
He's
the last King of the Ring as far as I'm concerned.
But no, all hail
King Booker. Was amazing. Yeah,
no, King Booker was great. I loved him so very much.
I never found that elite, and it broke my heart.
Which is funny. I loved everything about Booker T. I loved him in WCW. Mm-hmm. Like, when he was a part of Harlem Heat. That's one of my favorite tag teams of all time.
No, Harlem Heat.
Him and Stevie Ray were so good.
His WrestleMania 19 buildup was racist, but amazing for him.
His later WCW stuff, where he was going for the title, and they treated him with the singles respect, was amazing. When he got to WWF, yeah, like, I agree with Dalton. It was really good. It was kind of racist, but it was good. Mm-hmm. If he had won the title, it would have been a great ending. But now, Booker T, I'm just going to say this right now. I can't stand to listen to him.
Apparently, we're in a minority because the internet loves Booker T on commentary the last couple weeks.
I can't.
I don't know.
I can't. It's death to my ears.
Which was 19 the one where it was the King of Kings versus King Booker?
No. 19 was people like you don't deserve title shots.
WCW wrestlers.
That's right.
Not black people. I'm going to point that out.
That's right.
My bags, clean my toilet. You're a criminal. People like you don't deserve to be in title shots.
Yeah.
They fried up gold dust, which gave me one of my favorite gold dust things where he stuttered and went blah, blah, blah. That, yeah, I loved that. I loved all of it. I was like 11.
Okay, you were 11. Thank you. Okay.
Which
11-year-olds like car wrecks. I like car wrecks.
Which was when he feuded with Edge over Shampoo.
That was before that.
Oh, okay.
God. Yeah, that was like right after Invasion Angle. Mm. Allie, what you need to learn is wrestling is really stupid sometimes.
I think she knows.
I think, well,
she's learned.
I saw the time, well, I've seen Randy Orton's snake. I've also seen.
Leave that quote in. I saw Randy Orton's snake. That's the headline. And wrestling pornographer Allie Hebert.
I'm done. Bye.
That was the dumbest thing she's seen. Poor Andy.
It was so stupid looking.
But so long.
Speaking of...
It went all the way down the entrance.
It was glitchy.
Speaking of King of the Ring, as far as I know, the last King of the Ring, Neville, that's the last king, right?
Yeah.
Neville is gone from the 205 Live opening.
Yep.
Well, Neville was never King of the Ring.
King of the Cruiserweights.
Oh, okay.
Well, didn't he win that tournament?
No, that was King Barrett.
Oh, Barrett did win that, didn't he?
And then they ruined Bad News with King Barrett, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I forgot about that. I knew it was some British
because it worked a couple times, so let's just keep going back to it.
I really did think that King of the Cruiserweights really threw me off. I really thought he was the King of the
Ring.
No,
he just was the king because he was the best Cruiserweight.
Yeah, well, now he ain't. Because now
he's not even a Cruiserweight.
Yeah. So is this...
Maybe he just left and he's just like binge eating.
He's now too.
Shows up with a doctor's note. I weigh 205 and a half pounds.
He's Dr. Diabetes at this point.
Don't ruin those abs, Neville.
So if that's true, this is definitely lends fuel to the fire that either A, Neville is gone, or B, that he is being removed from 205 Live and going back to the main roster.
Which
would be the preferable option for us.
Yeah, selfishly, I would love for him to be able to continue to be on WWE so I could watch him.
Let's use this as an opportunity to also talk about a rumor that's making the rounds today that we can kind of crush and say, don't believe it. And that is the rumor that Nia Jax walked out on Raw because she was supposed to lose to Sasha Banks clean, refused to do it. And apparently The Rock, this is the report, The Rock told her, if you're unhappy, just leave.
Yeah, I saw that post. I saw that post and it was...
Because everybody's saying, oh, Sports Illustrated said this.
But it's like...
But it's that guy again, isn't it?
No, it's not the guy. It's just Sports Illustrated has a weekly wrestling column that comes out. And that column literally just says, Sports Illustrated has learned. Does not cite a source at all. It's just so it's...
Clickbaity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
The Rock, being the professional that he is, I find it hard to believe that he would tell her, if you're unhappy, just walk out.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember the criticism that they gave, was it Stone Cold?
Yeah.
Take your ball and go home, like Stone Cold did.
And that was more...
Vinnie Mac saying, get out there.
Well, no, and that was more understandable because Stone Cold Steve Austin didn't want to lose to Brock Lesnar on Raw.
He wanted it to be
bigger. He wanted it to be a big deal on pay-per-view, as in which, yeah, that's...
Make your money off of it.
Yeah, that's like, that's a good...
Don't hot shot
it. That's smart, yeah. But, so, I mean, yeah, and it's the same thing with CM Punk. Like, I don't agree with anyone... Like, same with Neville. Like, I don't agree that, you know, if you have given your word and you're being paid to do this thing, you have an obligation. Whether or not you have valid reasons to not want to,
But there should be no valid reason in wrestling that says, I don't agree with the storyline. I deserve better. I'm leaving because I'm unhappy. That shouldn't happen.
No, yeah.
That should never happen.
You're not a professional if that happens. And the thing with like.
No. Dalton's making the I disagree face. Any job you take, if you agree to take money from someone to do something, you do it because you took the money. You accepted the money. It's any job.
Until they ask you to do something that is well outside of what you agreed to do.
Right.
Because, mm-hmm. And I mean. You have to think about it. And I mean, I'm not okaying CM Punk, but look at like the Radicals. Two of them, I'm pretty sure, got out of contract. Like two of them were out of contract. I think two of them were still in contract and they were like, no, we're done. And then went over to WWF. Was that okay?
I mean, no. And I think if you negotiate out of your contract, that's different. If you were working for me,
okay.
Which you are, and I told you this is your job.
My contract would be super easy to get out of.
It would be. And this is, but if you had a contract and you said, I'm unhappy with the contract, I want out, and we negotiated terms of your release, that is different than you just not showing up to work and saying, okay. I'm not doing this.
So let's go back to the Neville thing then.
Okay.
Because we had Billy here last week.
Right.
They do the thing, and this is all hearsay, but they definitely did pull Neville's match from the DVD.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I lost money there. They're not making a lot of merch for me. I'm losing money there. Although they should be, because I'm probably the best person on the most well-known or the most attracted person on 205 Live. They're not making a lot of merch for me. I'm losing money there. At a certain point, I'm tired of losing money. At a certain point, they're getting the middle finger and I'm walking out.
But
that's unprofessional.
Yeah, because you never agreed to those things. Like if you agreed that you were going to get this DVD royalty, if you agreed that you were going to get this merchandise, then that's different. But if you sign a contract saying, I will wrestle, and you expect extra things just because you think you're so good, and when you don't get them, you walk out, that's unprofessional.
But what if it's taken from you? Because, like, he should very well be on that WrestleMania DVD.
No, yeah, we're not saying that he shouldn't be on that DVD and he shouldn't be getting that money, but we don't know what the contract said.
Right.
Like, so yes, if they cut that strictly so because of Austin Aries, because he was the first one to leave and they didn't want to have to pay him. Yeah, that's petty and that's terrible. But that's also something that needs to be talked about. And we're not saying, you know, we weren't there. We don't know. That could have been a conversation. He could have just been told no.
The only time I've ever heard of someone walking out and I thought it was kind of like, what would we say, justified? I don't remember. Was it Charmel? Or it wasn't Charmel. It was
Give me more context.
She was African American. She was during that same time period. It wasn't Charmel.
Oh, was it the one that like married Teddy Long? Crystal.
Crystal.
Thank you.
Where they wanted her to do some kind of thing with another wrestler, and she disagreed morally because I think she was either married in real life or something like that. But she disagreed morally, and she walked out because she refused to do it. And in a way, I can kind of see that because when you sign up to do wrestling, you don't necessarily sign up. Like if you sign up for a movie, you know what the movie's about. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just go.
You're given the script.
Mm-hmm. So I could see like Ali, if you were hired in to do wrestling and they were just like, we're going to have you do backstage interviews. And you're like, okay, you're under contract. And then they go, okay, you're not doing backstage interviews tonight. Tonight you're doing a sex triangle with these two guys. You might go, I disagree with that morally. I don't want to do that. But you are under contract to perform. So that is a tricky situation, in my opinion.
But when it takes you, but if she signed a contract saying that she's doing backstage interviews,
right.
Like it goes.
That
to
wouldn't
the thing.
Be a backstage interview.
Or if they said you will perform as this character, but nowhere does it say we will also kind of demoralize you as a character. Like, I don't know. I think that's a gray area. Because I could see somebody leaving on moral grounds.
And honestly, like with the CM Punk thing is a little different too, just because if it's true what he's saying about the staph infection and like still being made to wrestle with a concussion and stuff like that, you know, that also muddies the water a little bit. But for me, the difference between like, I'm a fan of Nia Jax, but Nia Jax is nowhere near a big enough star to try to hold up a show or like, and I'm not saying that, yeah, if you're famous and you're a big draw, you can act that way because I don't think anyone should.
You can, but it's not right.
It's happened twice and it didn't end well for both of them.
You shouldn't have to, or you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't.
You shouldn't be rewarded for shitty behavior.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, Nia is not that person. And honestly, I don't think I don't see The Rock totally burning a bridge with WWE. Based on, oh, my cousin didn't want to lose on pay-per-view.
Well, at the same time, and here's me saying the opposite into that, is I think Rock, if he did say it, he's not burning a bridge.
Well, that's that's what I hate about The Rock. He can't burn. He can walk over there with covered in gasoline and set himself on fire.
And that bridge is will never burn. It's made out of titanium steel, buddy.
Because it goes right back to what you said, Asa. Because if you're big enough, you can pretty much get away with.
Well, and Rock doesn't need WWE.
Not at all.
WWE needs The Rock in any situation.
And he knows
more than,
it.
Yeah.
But I still feel like he has a respect for the business.
Yeah, and I don't think he would. You know, he would do. I don't think he would hold up the WWE for something like
and
that.
And look at a guy like Zack Ryder. And that's what would piss me off is you look at a guy like Zack Ryder, to an extent, Dolph Ziggler, guys that I think should be bigger, and every time we see them, they're getting...
The crowd wanted to be bigger.
The crowd wanted... Zack Ryder, listen, I forget who it was that did an interview. I think it was Cody Rhodes. And he talked about how Zack Ryder really paved the way for a lot of people. Listen to those crowds and the way
they
reacted.
Curt Hawkins did too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Curt Hawkins did one where he was just like, yeah, no, that he is the golden example of taking the brass ring and then them taking it from you.
Yeah, and Zack Ryder is one of those guys that absolutely should have walked out. Like, even to this day, he still gets mistreated, but he never walked out. He put in his work, he did his time, and I really hope that there's some sense of karma in the universe that he will be rewarded for that in some way. Because there are some wrestlers that never made it to the top, but have, like, jobs for life.
Yeah.
And I hope Zack Ryder's one of those guys. Because if he just gets released one day for no reason, man, that dude put in so much work for you and, like, really pushed the corporate line. He is the prime example of a good employee.
Yeah.
You know, and if Nia Jax, being of her bloodline, can walk out... because she's unhappy with something, and they cater to her and bring her back and give her what she wants. Of course, I'm still going to watch wrestling. I don't want to make empty threads, but that's really shitty.
But again, that's all, that's even what happened.
Yeah,
because, you know, Sports Illustrated has learned is the line that they pull. So.
Right. Well, Podzilla 1985 has learned that Naito and Kurt Angle both get mini documentaries.
Oh.
Yeah, WWE has Kurt, I think it's only like 5 minutes, of Kurt Angle before he came out for TLC, like leading up to the moments before he his return to the ring, and it's on WWE's YouTube page, and I think it's probably on their website too. And then there's the Fall and Rise of Tetsuya Naito on YouTube as well. I don't remember what channel that's on, and it's like a 20-minute thing. I didn't get a chance to watch all of it.
Who did that one?
I don't remember. But it started off super interesting, but we're entering a busy time at work right now, so I didn't have time to just sit and watch YouTube.
Right. Unfortunately.
I actually have to work at work now.
Every time the phone rings and I'm watching a horror movie, I go, God. Yeah.
Why am I being paid to be here?
I answered one early and he was like, God. Thanks, Dalton.
Well, I put my hand up and Dalton answered and I was like, oh, okay. So I went back to what I was on.
I made him answer the next two.
Yeah, you got it. Okay. Esports, WWE has brought into an esports team called Cloud9.
Yes.
No.
No.
I hate esports. I hate it.
Really?
I really do. And I don't know why. Like, this is one of those things I have an irrational dislike of, and I don't know why.
I mean, as long as
every time they call them athletes, I shrug.
Shrug or cringe?
Cringe. Well, I shrug too.
Yeah.
Like, Allie looks at me and goes, are they athletes? I don't know. I mean, they are because they're good at what they do, but what they do is play video games.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like, I'm not big on the esports scene. I will watch like fighting game tournaments just because
that's fun.
It's the same reason I watch like the computer fight each other on Injustice.
Right.
Like it's like that's I hate you. My fingers don't work like that. It's amazing to see like some of the things these people do.
Jesse and I play Heroes of the Storm like competitively, so I get it. But we don't get paid for it.
Right.
I would never expect to be paid for it.
And then when you look at like that high level play, like same with Overwatch. Like watching high level Overwatch matches is insane.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, so I get esports. The amount of money they pull in is silly to me, but also
well, sports
like,
in general.
Yeah, in general. I also don't like the term athletes
used for the
players. Just because, like, I don't know, and maybe this is that thing where you know I'm on because the generation ahead of us will look at YouTube and like Let's Plays and be like, I don't get it. How can you possibly be? You're just watching someone play video games. It's like, no, it's more than that because, you know, they're adding content, they're adding commentary, whatever it is. And I feel like this is my version of that, where it's like, man, am I aging out of stuff now?
To where you don't get it?
Because I'm like, oh, man, like, because I enjoy watching
it. You used to be with it.
Because I very much enjoy watching it, but it's that thing where I'm not going to give, like, but you're not an athlete.
You're not.
You know who's an athlete? Like
Tom Brady.
The people at CCW, like, wrestlers are athletes.
Austin Lane is an athlete.
People like
Hollis Giroux is an athlete.
But when you're doing like
when your name professionally is like JJ's 3, like no, I'm serious.
Tell me he wouldn't be at CZW.
Big Lee brought him on.
Big Lee World. When you don't have a professional name and your name is like a cutesy internet meme name, mm-hmm. I immediately discredit you as an athlete. And that's on me. I don't get it.
Remember the XFL?
Wasn't his name
Ocho Cinco?
Yeah. Well, that was Chad Johnson.
Yeah, but he changed it. He changed his name
to Chad Ocho Cinco.
Yeah, so it's It's like, oh man, like.
But now imagine the entire team is he hates me.
But yeah, Cloud9 is apparently like one of the bigger esports teams. I don't know anything about it, but ESPN did a story where apparently WWE is like one of now the primary financial contributors to it.
Aren't they also a contributor to DraftKings?
They might be. That wouldn't surprise me.
I'm pretty sure.
I feel like if they were, we would hear a DraftKings commercial every 5 minutes like we do on every podcast.
Maybe it was UFC. Let me look it up.
We could get a DraftKings deal. I'm willing to bet.
So
I won't take it.
Do you think Cloud9 is going to be... Do you think Cloud9's going to be really bummed out whenever they like make them change their logo to Roman Reigns? It's the only way to get them over with the younger crowd, guys. We have to put them in video games. Like more video games. Like video game tournaments.
I hate DraftKings.
Sorry. So you're telling me if they offered us money, we wouldn't plug them?
The whole reason we do the podcast is so we can keep our journalistic integrity. I ain't selling out that quick. It better be a lot of money.
About to say.
Like, it better be at least 200 or 300.
Each.
Well, yeah. Ooh. There's that GoFundMe for you.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
If DraftKings...
We're not going to sell out to some big boy. Sold. They see the number.
And then the music plays.
Yep. Yeah. So, like, yeah, no, if DraftKings was like, Dalton Ace, you want to go on that cruise? I'd be like, how long do we have to do the plugs? Solid year? Yeah, no, I'd be cool with it.
You'd show up next Wednesday in DraftKings shirts with, like, necklaces. I'd be like, what happened on that cruise, guys?
I would show up on Tuesdays and Thursdays just to plug DraftKings if they were sent me on that cruise.
Every show would be taped at that point so you could show it. Yeah. Anyway, so let's move on to, real quick, Raw and SmackDown, and then we'll get we're already losing time because every time we do. What?
I had that thing about Dolph Ziggler.
Yes, Allie, you had something about Dolph Ziggler that we found out.
Dolph Ziggler. He's now the great Plessy Boney.
Placebony.
It's hard to say. Placebo. He had trouble saying it too.
Placebony.
To be fair. So the New Day wasn't the only wrestlers that ended up on Adam Ruins Everything. Dolph Ziggler was too.
Unannounced.
Actually, it was announced. I just didn't see it. Because whenever I Googled it, there was like articles. But, you know,
Journalistic integrity.
It was like the day of. So to us, it was unannounced and it was interesting.
To us? What's Adam Ruin Everything?
Did you know about it?
No, I don't know.
I don't care. But, no, it was a really good... It was a really good segment that he was in that talked about placebos. It was last week's
And he had episode. More screen time than the New Day.
Yeah, he did. He also had a wig.
It's the first time that's been
basically his hair.
Yeah, he had long hair, wig.
That was blonde. It was still obviously a wig.
Don't care, I love it.
Which is just so weird. So, yes. Dolph Ziggler on Adam Ruins Everything.
Yes.
Who knows who they'll have next? Maybe Roman Reigns will show up.
Not Jimmy Jacobs.
As God.
That's a beautiful God.
Not as good as John C. Reilly.
That's true.
Okay. So, Raw.
We go hard on Earth.
Raw and SmackDown. I really don't know. Okay, no, we don't have a lot of time to talk about everything. Let's talk about two specific things. We don't have time.
Watch TLC. It was amazing.
TLC. We're going to get to TLC in a second. Okay. Let's talk about, just real quick about Raw and SmackDown. There's two things I want to touch on. And Ace, if you want to add to it, but we don't have a lot of time. I absolutely hated that Kane beat Finn Balor on Raw. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I'm so sorry, Asa. Please don't hate me.
No, I didn't listen to Booker T's commentary on it. Just from the way, like looking at it just in black and white of, Kane beat Finn Balor after 3 back-to-back-to-back choke slams.
Yes.
That does nothing to hurt Finn Balor. What hurts Finn Balor is Booker T running him down, saying
he couldn't get the job done.
Right, as opposed to, like, if someone was good at commentary, just, like, Kane did not underestimate Finn Balor. He knew that, you know, the amount of fight that this competitor has, so he wanted to leave nothing to chance and just made sure he really sealed the deal.
It felt like they did less of that and more of putting, instead of saying, oh, look how tough Finn Balor is, Kane knew, instead it was, Kane's a monster, he's been a monster for years, mm-hmm. Like, he's still a monster.
But coming off a Sunday, like, yeah, it's like he didn't miss a beat.
No, he's still Kane.
Yeah.
But when you've got Finn Balor in a mid to high level feud with Bray Wyatt, which is on the burner, I get. Mm-hmm. He just comes off a huge match with AJ Styles, which was arguably one of the best matches in a long time. To feed him to Kane, like,
and in fairness,
who was busy that they couldn't feed to Kane instead?
Like, there's not really anyone left on the Raw roster that can afford to eat to take a loss like that. Balor doesn't lose anything in this loss. He lost to Kane, one of the all-time scariest monsters WWE's ever had.
Yeah, it's also one of those you have to also put in the fact that Finn Balor's 185 pounds.
Kane, that's
part of the problem.
Kane needs to because technically he got they lost on Sunday. He needs to be built as a credible monster, so it's more impressive when Strowman beats him, because that's what this is building towards.
It's completely building to that. But in 2017, I still have a problem. Like, how often did we complain about the older guys going over the newer guys, and it hurts the newer guy's status?
It's a stopgap, though, because if Kane ends up beating Strowman and then leaves again, then yes, you're right. But
which will never. I don't know.
I don't think it will. I think they see money in Strowman. They see Strowman big picture.
Well, I thought they saw that about Balor too, because Balor, he came up with the kind of regal, you know, that a lot of people don't get when they come up from like the NXT.
I think Triple H sees it, but I don't know if Vince does, and ultimately it's still WWE is Vince's show.
I just feel like this was a horrible decision. Kane should not beat Finn Balor in 2017.
This is weird because I'm the one saying it. I think you need to see what happens next week. Like, what happens on Raw next week? Like, does if Balor gets any sort of heat back? Like, does Balor get
so
any
Balor
sort of momentum?
So Balor just eats the loss and moves on.
If he just
on.
Eats the loss and moves on and then starts to, you know, say if he wins next week in something.
Yeah.
Then I think it's pretty harmless. But if this does continue a trend of Booker T just running down, like commentary, running down Balor and Balor still just progressively losing, then I think, okay, then maybe there is that thing where, oh, you want it too sweet in the middle of my ring? Okay.
That's my conspiracy theory I told Ace about, was the whole, well, Vince didn't know anything about the too sweet moment that AJ and Balor did. And then the next night on Raw, Balor loses to Kane in a fairly dominant match. Something stinks about that.
Wait a minute. Do you think that Kane was dominant in that match?
I do think Kane was dominant in the match because, I mean, Balor got some shots in, but Kane was throwing him around.
Kane throws everybody around. That's part of Kane's moveset.
Kane very much came across as the monster that couldn't be beat, no matter what Balor threw at him.
But that's kind of Kane's entire character.
Do you not remember the match?
I very much remember the match. Like, were you telling me that Balor looked dominant against Kane in that match?
No, but it was a competitive match. It wasn't a squash match by any stretch of the imagination.
I said that. Hey, so to be fair, I said it wasn't a squash match.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I'm not saying it was a squash
but
match.
But like, Balor almost hit the coup de grace on him. Like, that's how he lost, because Kane sat up after the shotgun drop kick.
Yeah, because of course Kane is impervious to pain when it needs to be.
Well, for 20 years now, yes. This isn't like a new development where he's just like, oh, you can't hurt me.
Yeah. But still, like, why Balor? Why not Titus O'Neil?
Who cares if Titus O'Neil loses? Elias Samson beat Titus O'Neil. Kane needs someone credible. Then there's no, like, and the Raw roster is pretty thin right now with other people being involved in storylines. Balor's there. Bray's still not back, so he can't. So it's okay for Balor to kind of take this. He is the stopgap.
But this is going to be the Balor. This is going to be the in a bubble thing. Like, it's never going to. I'll wait to see next week. That's what I'll say. I'll wait to see what happens. But what I feel like is going to happen is what happens every time we get upset when something like this happens, is that it's going to continue. It's going to be terrible, and we're going to be upset about it.
We said that about Kevin Owens.
Well, I said that about Kevin Owens.
I said that about AJ Styles.
So it's the thing where, yeah, I don't, like, I just think you're reading way too much into it for one match.
I do that a lot. And I'm not denying that I don't, but it was that gut match. Reaction. It was the gut reaction of seeing Kane in 2017 beating a guy like Finn Balor, who should be top of the card.
You're right. He should be, but Brock Lesnar still has a contract. So unfortunately for all of us, because I love Finn Balor just as much as you do.
We get the Maharaja.
You don't love him as much as me because he's Irish and I'm Irish. And we have a thing that you don't understand. So I hate him.
Aren't you from Illinois?
Don't start that again. Don't you start that with me. So I disliked that.
Yeah.
I didn't like it, but whatever. I will see what happens. I will. And when I'm right, I will accept apologies from Dalton. You don't have to. The other thing from Raw was the Under Siege hashtag,
mm-hmm.
where Shane McMahon and the SmackDown Superstars came out and demolished the Raw locker room.
Loved it.
Which Dalton loved.
I thought.
You never, ever, ever get to complain about a crossover event in a comic book ever again.
No,
this is what that is.
They do it once a year on a big scale. We get small skirmishes at the big shows. We get one match every big show where it's like, all right, Orton versus Lesnar or Balor versus Styles. Well, that was kind of a special occasion. This is the one time a year
where I get to enjoy a big event. Yeah. And I can already say that I like the build so far. So far is the key word.
It was great on Raw when they demolished him, and then on SmackDown when nothing happened.
Give it a few weeks. We have a couple weeks till.
No, but I'm not going to give it a few weeks because what they did is I hated it. I hated every second of it. In a bubble, it's a great visual.
So.
And it's cool to see like the SmackDown, like the wave of blue just tearing through the arena.
Now, may I ask a question?
No.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask it anyway. Did you like the buildup for last year's?
No.
Survivor Series.
No.
I already like it way more than last year's.
You know, I don't even remember last year's.
It was the exact same thing where they did the Raw women attack the SmackDown women in the middle of the match, and Bayley joined in on a 5-on-2 assault. You're totally overriding these people's characters for the shock factor for no reason. There is just no reason for them to have this blood feud.
Pride.
Is it?
No,
because
that was the joke.
In here's
fact,
the thing.
During this thing on Raw, I want to point this out. While Booker T was being a jackass, and I really hated Booker T that night, Corey Graves even said, I've worked on both Raw and SmackDown. There's never been bad blood between the two. I don't understand what's going on, which is a good statement. And I guarantee we don't get an answer.
It's a good statement for him to remain neutral, like him and Renee Young. Like, yeah, you should probably remain neutral.
But you know, the answer that he got was Booker said, well, Survivor Series. And he goes, I know what it's for, but why did they do it?
And I hated seeing Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler working side by side for the Pride of SmackDown, only for the next night for them to get into it backstage. To book their two out of three falls match. No, you're totally ignoring people's ongoing characters to tell this one story that's not even that good. Because I didn't say anything on Monday night after I watched it. And because I was like, I'm going to watch SmackDown because there's something that SmackDown could do that would make this way okay. And if SmackDown would have started with the entire roster on the stage, Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan in the ring saying, okay. You know, we won last year, but we're still treated like the B show. This is unacceptable. We are putting aside every petty squabble for Survivor Series. Every match between now and then is going to be a giant tournament. I don't know how you do it, but it's a qualifying series of matches. No one is fighting because they hate each other now. You're fighting to represent SmackDown because we are united. Let Raw do whatever they want to do. But this is, we run WWE. We are the A show. But instead we just got status quo with no other than just like Shane kind of teasing a heel turn.
So you're saying the booking is bad.
Like it bugged me. I don't like, why is the New Day bloodthirsty? Like, yeah, it was awesome. Catch these hands. Like, yeah, that was cool to see. But not at the expense of what the New Day have been doing this entire time. Why did Chad Gable, who has done nothing but say he's proud of Jason Jordan, back away the rest of the locker room so he could attack him? Why? Because one time Raw sometimes says that they're better. No.
What does it matter if Raw says they're better? Like, okay. Here's Dalton. Here's Dalton on this side and Asa's on this side. I'm in the middle because I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I thought it was good. It was impressive looking. I get that. The brand loyalty is supposed to override everything else,
but it doesn't. No one has said like, and here's the thing: the only person like Baron Corbin, yeah, send him over to Wreck Shop on Raw. He'll fight. He just wants to fight people. The one person that really should have been there wasn't. Where was Kevin Owens? Like, yes, it makes sense that he's not going to do Shane's dirty work for him, and I'm glad that they didn't just have him blindly follow in. But then on Tuesday, they're like. Him and Sami Zayn. Well, yeah, we decided not to, but you know what? We want to help out after all. Why? Give me a reason.
Because they're arrogant now that they're together. And they're like, well, I mean, we don't like you, but we'll show you how good we are. That's literally what they said. We're going to make Team SmackDown Team Sami and Kevin. Then he said no, or Kevin and Sami. And then Kevin was like, no, Team Sami and Kevin. That was verbatim what was said.
Yeah, and that's great, but they could have done that on Monday too. They could have shown that. Like, have them lead the charge.
So I haven't really got to defend my end of it. Would you rather it just be, all right, from TLC to now, oh, we're having a Survivor Series match.
We're having a Survivor Series match.
Do you?
We're just
last
gonna,
year's build was better because
Taker showing up and being like, "Oh, I'm here to dig souls." And
I'm not talking about that.
That was the build up to the Survivor Series match, though. That was part of it.
Let me finish the point. I'm talking about the Raw where SmackDown comes and it's just the five people in the ring there and the five people from Team SmackDown and the five people from Team Raw. Like, that's all you need. Everything else around it was garbage. Yes, the Undertaker showing up and doing the whole.
Just for there to be no payoff.
Exactly. And there's not going to be a payoff this time.
Oh, okay. Well,
So SmackDown won last year. What did they win?
Bragging rights.
Oh, my.
Wasn't it?
What did they win?
Isn't that what they won?
It doesn't. All right. This is the thing that always frustrates me is it's wrestling. This is strictly just an exhibition. This is what Survivor Series has always been. Team DX didn't get anything special for squashing that one team that year. Well, they didn't get anything special. Nobody really ever
But they were already feuding with those people.
All right, so when I was growing up, the Survivor Series was always you grab your guys and these people were in feuds and they just all teamed up to fight each other. Like there was no stupid inter-brand thing.
Cuz that's fine. Like, okay, I hate you. These guys hate those guys. I'm going to team up with these guys and we're going to beat all of you. That makes sense. And that like and you having those people do a pull apart brawl makes perfect sense. It doesn't make sense for there to be just nothing. Like, there's no previous bad blood. There's no reason for them to go through that level of violence when they're not going to get anything out of it.
I mean, shouldn't you take your own advice of what you said to me and wait and see what happens?
Because that's what I
mean. Yeah, like, and I'm hoping it's better, but I just.
And also, I want to semi-defend the Kevin Owens thing because this is one of those you had to read outside the TV to get it, but Sami Zayn put out a tweet saying that they wouldn't blindly follow a tyrant after the, why weren't you at Raw?
And like, though I actually liked those like video, cause they were all doing like those Twitter videos after the fact. I enjoyed those more than the actual beatdown.
Well, what I get is that what he's saying is we didn't go over there because Shane told us to, and we didn't follow the tyrant because he said so, but now we are going to take the higher ground and we're going to join on our own free will. In their head, there might be a difference in that. That there's a difference between Shane said, go fight these guys. We're not going to do that. We'll do it because we want to. This is our choice. That's the only defense I can give it. Now, did they explain that? Am I booking it? Yes. That's just me going,
no, I mean,
well,
they explained that on the TV show yesterday.
But did they explain it like that?
Yes, we're going to turn Team like SmackDown.
Saw it and for them to remain heel and go against Shane even though he's kind of being a dick to Brian now, like I don't
he's kind of being a dick in general.
Yeah,
like I guess it's the McMahon blood, the whole well we want competition and all that stuff. I guess that's why he did that's Kurt Angle because that really did just seem out of character for
and you
everybody.
Can also like you in the whole Shane Angle thing you can just be like I mean. You can very easily say there's been bad blood since 2001.
Oh, since 2001, yeah, but they have not addressed any of that. They have every time you've seen them together,
cordial.
It's been cordial and courteous and professional.
That, I'm not being antagonizing. How many times have we seen them?
Oh,
together?
It's not been often.
Okay, I'm missing.
No, it's not like it's been an ongoing thing where they're like buddy buddy. It's just that the times that they have interacted or spoken about each other, it's always been them over there, and it's not even like they're peppering in. Like, if you go throughout the rest of the year, like, if Shane or Brian had continued to bring up the fact that SmackDown won, or, Raw talking about, oh, well, we need to, we lost, but you know what? We're going to come back. We're going to be better. Just, there was nothing. It's just, we're supposed to be like, oh, hey, this is the time of year that you fight. And I wish Survivor Series wasn't like, bring back bragging rights. Do it there because
that's
liked,
what it was built for.
Because I like the Survivor Series matches where it's like, okay,
Braun, SmackDown, Intermert.
Yeah. Like, do what they did at TLC with the Shield versus the Bar.
Yeah, it's like, put teams together.
Do the teams within your own show.
I would have been happier if they had followed up on SmackDown from Raw. There was no reason that Raw shouldn't have tried to get on the show to get revenge. And what they could have done, I wish they would have done, because I said, thank God they had Shane's music queued up on Raw. And Dalton laughed and said, well, it's Shane McMahon. He could say, my dad owns this.
He owns
I'm
part. No, I mean, Shane himself owns part
my
of the company.
My dad works at Nintendo.
So why could you not have, is it just me? It would have been cool if Kurt Angle and Raw showed up to SmackDown to try to do it. And Shane has them thrown out because Shane has an unfair advantage where he does own part of it. I can go over to you and I can slap you in the face. You can't do the same to me. You're going to have to wait till Survivor Series to get revenge.
The Raw retaliation is coming. Like, they even said it at the end of SmackDown. Like, because Shane's like, oh, I thought Raw would have come. And Daniel Bryan's like, I mean, yeah, they didn't come this week. So they add the hook. And, like, I get that they're doing, like, they're now trying to turn this into the story. But for me, it's still very much Cena Reigns. You're forcing this to feel like this is a huge deal. Right. And like I said, in a bubble, it was awesome. Like watching SmackDown just tear through that locker room, the women come out of their locker room like, oh, what are you going to do? And then the SmackDown women just part the sea.
And Natty gets a handful of Zach Jones.
That's Zach's payment.
That's his payment. Natty grabs him.
It's just like, yes, that's a great visual in a bubble. It's awesome. But I hate the fact that it's overriding ongoing character development and storylines.
It feels like the catalyst for this on Raw was simply Angle telling Shane, well, yeah, we got these guys over here. I don't know who you have.
Hey, thanks for AJ. Can I keep him?
Yeah, sure. You've got these guys. That was so insulting to Shane McMahon that he felt the need to get the entire Raw locker room to attack them.
Thankfully, he had all of SmackDown just ready to go.
Well, they were outside.
And like, and who knows, in a couple weeks, they may address it and be like, yeah, no, I gave him AJ. Wasn't really appreciative of that one, so I decided I'd bring the rest of my roster.
Well, he said AJ, like, the him lending AJ for that Finn match was the first step of his plan. Like, so this was a premeditated thing, like, even...
Your plan was for AJ to lose?
Because then, if that's premeditated, then they could just be like, oh yeah, no, I've never forgot King of the Ring that year. The second I saw you were GM,
I don't like that because
they don't have the memory. They don't have enough memory to go back a year or two to pull out angles. You think they're going to go back, like, 15 years?
I hope so.
The thing
no.
that... See, and like, I don't know, I think I would hate that more, just because then you fight him. I just need two face authority figures. give me that. We had to suffer through the authority for a decade and 4 score and 7 years. Is how long we had the authority open every show with Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
Don't forget Vicky Guerrero was the evil GM.
Yeah, that was in like 13-12 though. Just the authority has been around for entirely too long, and we just need to both be good guys.
Well, maybe this could lead back to Stephanie coming back and bringing back the authority.
No, none of that. But for Shane to be like, okay, I'm just going to use my guys as a personal army, is such a heel move.
That's Return of the King level.
None of it. I'm sure, like, the Survivor Series match is going to be awesome. Like, the card itself.
Especially when Shane's on the team.
Usos versus.
Because you know he will be.
Usos versus The Shield.
Oh.
That will probably be match of the night, like, I'm willing to say. I'm, like, excited to see Miz versus Corbin. Like, it's going to be terrible.
I'm excited to see Natty versus Alexa.
A big banter Corbin versus Miz trying to, like. Corbin trying to keep up with The Miz on the mic. When they were on commentary a couple months ago, like that, when Miz was back on SmackDown, it was amazing.
And don't forget the blockbuster, Brock Lesnar versus Jinder Mahal.
But so here's a question: who do you put on the Raw team, assuming that Roman and Bray are healthy, because the viral scare is still very much a thing. So it's
Kurt Angle is going to be on it. I have no doubt. It's going to be Kurt Angle, Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt, Finn Balor. And
Braun Strowman
versus Shane McMahon,
AJ Styles,
Kevin Owens, probably Sami Zayn.
Nope.
Randy Orton.
Orton and...
And it won't be Kevin, it'll be Nakamura. I'm willing to bet.
Maybe both.
Nakamura wrestles... If Kevin Owens loses to Nakamura, then Nakamura's on
got
the...
you.
That's the qualifying match.
Well, rats.
Who
else does SmackDown have?
Aiden English.
Rusev.
Ryder.
No! So did you love Rusev standing on the table shouting orders?
Oh, yeah. No, Rusev, like, again, in a bubble, I loved it.
Do you love,
like,
Rusev doing anything?
Yes.
Do you know he's been teaming with the Usos on the house show circuit right now?
The Rusos, yeah.
All right, let's talk about TLC very quickly. TLC was good.
Go watch it.
Yeah.
It was good.
I need to go back and rewatch the Cruiserweight tag match. Because I was playing Cuphead through most of TLC. But
I missed the Enzo match because we went to go get pizza.
You didn't miss much.
I know. The main event was... the best kind of train wreck.
I was sports entertained.
Yeah.
It was an absolute...
A lot of questionable things. Another murder.
It was a shit show. The crowd chanting, that was murder.
That
was
the
amazing.
Best part. And Cesaro's reaction of shrug emoji.
Did you see what Meltzer's plan was?
No.
So, for Raw on Monday, they needed to back up the dump truck. It decompresses and comes out, and out pops Otis Dozovich.
No.
And he's Braun Strowman now?
Because he's small.
Because he got compacted. And then something happens, and they stretch him back out for like, so right before Survivor Series, he gets like stretched out.
Well, no, it's, you don't have to do that. And it's just, Strowman comes, it does the wavy, it does the wavy graphic, and then he's just back to normal. It does and it does the popping motion,
exactly,
the popping noise.
Oh, I hate Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Can we talk about Proud Papa Kurt? The Shield music hits. That, like, Dean and Seth come down.
Oh, God, that was so awkward.
The biggest, like, on the one hand, like, it totally warms your heart because that is raw emotion of Kurt Angle knowing he's about to get to wrestle again. And he's so happy. But him wearing the Shield gear was just, hey, kids, look, I'm wearing the stuff too.
Hello, like fellow Shield members.
It's like a 52-year-old wearing an Ed Hardy shirt. You're like, you're trying too hard, buddy.
No, it's like I said on Facebook, it's the dad taking his kids to Warped Tour and just like wanting to impress their friends.
Somebody got him an extra large, a Day to Remember t-shirt, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to wear this. This skull looks awesome.
Mm-hmm. Kane's just like, that's embarrassing. He's too old to be here.
Kane double choke slamming him through the Dean Ambrose. The biggest feud coming out of TLC was Dean Ambrose and the tables.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Will this be as good as his feud against Electronics? He hates inanimate objects. Has the hardest time with them.
They hate him.
I love Kane. I've always loved Kane. So seeing him just wreck house.
Well, Kane is another one of those guys that like did everything he was asked to do, no matter how terrible it was. He deserves to be rewarded. Mm-hmm. You know, Katie Vick,
Isaac Yankum,
Fake Diesel.
I was going to say, Fake Kane was Luke Gallows.
Fake Kane was also not great.
No, I was trying to make that on WWE 2K18, but I couldn't add hair.
Oh. All right, so lastly, before we get out of here, I didn't say Lashley.
Lashley's here. Hey, thanks for coming.
We're going to talk about CCW. So we talked about it on CCW Live, but this is the unscripted version of it where we can give our true thoughts on it. And it was a really good show.
Yeah.
And it was also, for me personally, one of the most frustrating shows I've been to because I was up there with Jason while he's rewriting the show, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, so who's coming out? Who's going to be there? Mm-hmm. Give me a minute. I'll figure it out. And I'm like, it's like 20 minutes till, Jason. I need to know what's going on.
You run out of minutes.
And then there's like the women's match. It was Mardi Gras versus Sarah Summers versus Sid Scream. And I said, Jason, who is Sid Scream? Oh, it's a girl I know. She's really good. I know everybody. Sure. And then Jeff O'Dell comes up to us during the show and says, you know who the hell Sid Scream is? Like, I have no clue.
No. Well,
it was Nikki Lane. I guess Jason forgot the memo that if I'm working with you, you need to tell me what's happening. It doesn't need to be a pleasant surprise for me. Like, I got it. But still, I didn't know until, I forget who it was that blabbed to me backstage that said, oh yeah, Nikki's wearing a mask tonight. And I was like, oh, Sid Scream, huh? You son of a bitch. Anyway, that's my thoughts.
It was a great show.
It was a good show.
No, yeah, that, like, that legitimately was one of my favorite shows that CCW's done.
But also, very scary.
Yeah.
I feel like the level of violence in these shows is getting more extreme.
Yep.
For better or worse. That Otis Crowley and Cody.
That was terrifying
to
watch.
That was sick.
And it genuinely made me kind of mad because that was the quietest the crowd was.
Yeah.
Like, they were so quiet. And it's just like, these guys are killing themselves for you. Like, what is, like, how are you not acknowledging this?
Do you think part of that is the fact that, and I don't know if it was Dalton that said this to me or who, but that pretty much Otis Crowley came in just on the back of Jackson Crowley to begin with. That was why he was there, was because of Jackson. And we haven't really had any, we haven't had no establishment for Otis Crowley other than he's Jackson's brother and he's helping him.
No.
That's it.
Well, I mean, that wasn't me because I know the story.
What's the story? What's Otis Crowley's story other than he's helping Jackson fight?
That, again, you have to watch, like, the vignette video that they did for him, like, 2 weeks before one of the shows a couple months back.
Where was this at?
The CCW Facebook page.
So if I'm coming to the show and I don't have CCW on Facebook, and I'm these fans in the crowd, then I'm going to be quiet, because I don't know what the hell it
is.
Well,
if that's the case, then you don't know most of the storylines going in.
They do a pretty good job establishing them on the show.
Even on the show, like, the work they were doing in the ring is enough to merit a response.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely is. But what I'm saying is, do you think because of that's part of the reason it was so quiet?
I mean, people may not be super...
Clearly the work in the ring was fantastic.
They may not be super familiar with who he is as a character, but, I mean, at a certain, like...
And that's important, though.
That will justify a quiet initial reaction, but after the first 2 minutes of that match, no. Like...
The first...
30 seconds. Yeah, no.
Went in strong.
It did. It was a great, great match. All I'm saying is that having a little bit of care, that's the reason that Sexy Sarge matches, because Sexy Sarge is a good wrestler, but he's not putting on Otis Crowley, Jackson, you know, Crowley matches. But the fact that his character is so strong that he connects with the crowd so much helps, this is the crowd reaction for him.
Well, yeah, but now you're arguing differences in style. Like now,
well, I'm saying that having a good character, having an established character and personality goes a long way to having a crowd react to you. I don't think anyone's going to argue that, are they?
No, I mean you're right, and it's we don't know much about Otis, but I think that's also part of his bit. Like it's that mysterious, like just like what is this guy?
All we know about Otis as of right now, and I'm sorry, but you have to check CCW's Facebook page to get this, is that he was Jackson's little brother, who Jackson has been looking for since somebody took him away, and he is mentally unstable. That is literally. Like,
I'm not going to give this a pass in the same way that I'm not going to give like Star Wars a pass when it was like, well, what's up with General Grievous? Well, you had to watch the animated series on the web to understand it. Like, show me at the show that this happens.
They have been trying, and then whenever somebody like they have been building that story. It is unfortunate that Jackson broke his leg when he did, because now it's kind of hard to get that across without one half of them being there. Which it's a good thing Jackson will be managing Otis this next show. But, like, it's one of those where, yeah, you can say, well, I'm not going to give CCW a pass, and if I'm not going to give Star Wars a pass, now we're talking two different mediums where...
It's entertainment. It's a storyline, isn't it?
Two different mediums of entertainment, though. We're talking about multi-million dollar movies that we get once every 2 years and a wrestling show that we get once a month that can build a story like that. Now it's literally two different kinds of storytelling.
It's still storytelling, though. And you're smiling. You're giving me that antagonistic jackass smile
right now.
Yes, you are. And I'm sorry, but like, seriously, you can't take 5 minutes out of a show to explain what Otis Crowley's doing there other than he's with Jackson at the show to the people that don't watch Facebook Live.
So you're literally the fact that we have this every month. You can build a story like that. It's two different kinds of storytelling. That's what I just said.
But they haven't built a story. At the show. Have they built a story at the show other than that they've beat these guys and that they've taken them out?
No, you're right, Shannon. You're absolutely right.
I'm sorry. Am I wrong? Can you tell me what Otis Crowley's story is from watching CCW at the arena?
What I would be aware of from just the live shows, not even like Chaos, is that they are brothers, obviously. It does seem to be that Otis is probably a little unstable, because the first time we saw him, he was in a hospital gown.
He has a pig mask.
And he has a pig mask, but he was also in a hospital gown. And so you kind of do have to fill in some gaps without anything other than the live show. And so I'm getting... Because I would like more of the actual story being told at the shows, but I'm seeing little bits.
Every show, little bit. Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
But it's also part of what we do with commentary, is that we can be there to fill in. And I get what you're talking strictly about being there live in the live show.
All I'm saying, and Dalton, please put your mic back up there and talk to us. I'm sorry. I apologize. But my thoughts are you can't expect everyone to know everything from watching online. And if you go to a new crowd like Sykeston, where we have new fans who maybe have never checked out CCW before, and you introduce a guy like Otis Crowley who didn't say anything, no promos, nothing like that. Going against a guy like Cody Wilson, no promos, nothing like that. And if you don't watch that stuff, you might be a little quiet, even though the wrestling was good. Like, I get what you're saying. I'm mad about that, too.
Does Otis talk?
No.
No, he's never talked. He's not talked at the show or from my experience with the backstage promos. He has not said a word yet.
So you would say this is just a bad luck that Jackson wasn't there and that we couldn't advance the storyline and that this match suffered because we couldn't advance the storyline. It was almost like a throwing out there.
No, I don't think it was a throwing out there at all. They're still building the grudge match. It's just, it was an unfortunate time because they were building that story. Like him doing that, like we missed a month of what Jackson and Otis could have done, or Jackson being in Otis's corner. You missed that, but it's one of those things where we went to a new crowd. You asked at the beginning of the show, who is its first time at CCW? And there was a couple.
It's like five people.
Yeah, it was like five people. To be fair. Yeah, so whenever you say, well, it was a brand new crowd. No, there was like eight new people.
Okay, so.
And then it was the CCW loyal.
Okay, so what do you think is the reason that the crowd was so quiet for it? And I'm honestly asking, what is your opinion?
It was a different kind of match than what we're used to. It's the same thing with Tony Cazzino and Justin Dier. It was a match that we are not accustomed to.
But wasn't this a really hard-hitting match, though? Don't hard-hitting matches, especially in indie shows, with this level of like...
Different indie fans. If Glory, Ace and I've had this conversation, and I agree more with Ace now that I talked to Jason. If Glory Pro came to Cape Girardeau one time, the crowd would not be nearly as alive as it is up in St. Louis. It's not, it was one of those things where, like, we just, it's that style of match of where it was just hard-hitting, gross-looking moves. We're not used to that at CCW. We get spurts of that. We don't get a whole match. When you get a whole match like that, you get confused. That's psychology. It was a great match. Like, I enjoy a lot of different kinds of wrestling. The kind of moves they were pulling out, I'm a fan of. I wasn't a fan of all the spots, but I was a fan of what they were attempting to do.
I can agree with that.
But whenever it's a crowd used to more of a story-driven, all right, we have point A here, we have point B here, we have two people that we very much well know. Like, we've seen Cody for almost a year now. But we haven't really had a Cody match where we get to see exactly what Cody gets to do.
We also have
zero knowledge on Otis's ring style.
No, I was saying almost zero knowledge on Cody. Even Cody said when we interviewed him, I don't really care about the character. I just want to wrestle.
Yeah. So when you have something like that, that's different than what we're used to at CCW. We're used to Austin Lane. We're used to Sexy Sarge. We're used to Barbed Wire, Billy. We're used to that. It was something different, and the crowd didn't know how to react. What happened.
Do you think it was a hushed respect?
I think they were trying to figure out what the hell was going on. They didn't realize, like, they are not used to that. I don't know if it was a disrespect or a respect thing. I just think it was confusion. Which, at one point, no, it sucks. These two guys are killing each other in there. There should be a response accordingly. But if you don't know what's going on, it kind of leaves...
Okay, so let me ask this. This is the second match now with Otis where the crowd... Because let's be honest, the last show, not the Chaffee show, but the one before that, we had the same argument that, man, during that tag match with Jackson and Otis, crowd was so quiet. And they were killing themselves then, too. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do to change that? And I'm asking all of you, like, what is your idea?
We need a couple more months, which unfortunately we got kind of robbed of because an accident happened.
Hmm.
Whenever he comes back, hopefully we'll get this train back on and we'll see what happens.
Because even, like, the tag match, it was kind of the inverse because the tag match, like, they got a great reception when they first came out. It was just whenever the match actually started, like, the crowd just kind of quieted down. I can't give a reason for why.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that the CCW crowd, we all know the CCW crowd, and we know a lot of people in it. They're hardcore CCW fans, and they love and respect every wrestler that goes in there.
And, like, so, a lot of those people were still, like, a lot of those people were very vocal during the match.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean by it was quiet then?
Because the 12 to 15, like, CCW diehards...
We're loud,
but compared to, you know, however many people were actually in that venue.
It was like 200 plus, I think.
Yeah, like, that's not a louder... There's only so much that we can do.
Right.
If the average CCW fan is there and, you know, who, you know, isn't on CCW Live every week, isn't listening to us right now, like, the people who show up to the shows because it's a good time, like, I think those were the ones that weren't, you know, super.
Take a guy like Jake or Aaron, mm-hmm, that we know through Hunter and those guys. Like, they love wrestling. Mm-hmm. They were at the show and they have been to CCW shows before, but they don't follow the Facebook. They don't, they missed a couple of shows. They don't watch CCW Live. They don't watch Chaos. So when they went in there, they probably saw Cody Wilson. They saw Otis Crowley and no idea anything. No clue at what these guys are trying to do. And this is just a personal preference. Like, I am sorry if I came across as an ass. It's just a personal preference to me that there would be a little bit of reasoning shown during the show for every match. But I don't know how you do it.
But,
like, this is me playing armchair quarterback without any idea.
But that's when you get to,
idea,
like, five-hour shows.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Because indie wrestling is about wrestling. And yes, the storytelling is nice, and that's kind of why they do... Like, not
because I feel like CCW
not
really pushes storylines,
and they do. And there's not a lot of places that you can go that are going to film angles for Facebook Live.
Right.
They're not filming vignettes for their wrestlers that you can then, like, if you go and, like, whoa, that Otis Crowley guy was, like, nuts. I want. How do I find out more about them? Well, I'll go to their Facebook page and see. Oh, well, here's these videos. Like, they give you the opportunity to be able to do that. You have to be willing. And yes, like, you're right. Where, like, yeah, it kind of sucks that people have to do homework for it, but at least it's there. 9 out of 10 indie shows, you go in, I don't know who this guy is, that match was good, that's all you're getting. Like, they don't have, like, they're not doing a TV show where they can have people do commentary to tell these stories that they don't have a chance to because of time constraints. They don't have, you know, the only Facebook video you're going to get is the guy running the show before, like, hey, come to the arena because it's going to be great. Like, they don't have, you know, backstage interviews at all. Like, yeah, you have to go to Fight TV or YouTube or wherever to see them, but they're there, like, and they're available. And, you know, they tried to do the interviews before the matches, and that was turned out to be kind of a technical nightmare.
Oh, up on the big screen?
Yeah. So there's only so much you can do, and at a certain point, like, you can't sacrifice the actual wrestling because that's what people are there to see.
I'm like you, and I feel terrible when you see guys like Otis and Cody, like, do so much.
Yeah.
Like, not wrestle a safe style at all. Well, not unsafe, but you know what I'm saying. Like,
they're working a very strong. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, and I'm sorry for cutting you off, but I don't remember if it was this week or last week, but in the group chat, you said in a 3-hour show, we got 30 minutes of wrestling.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That frustrated you.
No, absolutely.
No, I get that.
That's a big example. That's a huge extreme.
Like, I went far left to bring it back to the middle of. At a certain point, are you there for the wrestling or are you there for the...
Well, that's why I'm just venting. Like, I'm just venting. Like, this is no shot at CCW for the way they do things at all. And I'm not just saying that because we work with them. Like, I'm really not.
Yeah.
I'm just venting because I don't know. I do get frustrated with WWE when it's, okay, here's a 3-hour show. And in that 3-hour show, here's 30 minutes of wrestling.
Yeah.
And it's all story. That's boring. I wish that it wasn't just here's all wrestling and here's your homework to get the characters. Like, I wish there was a balance, but I offer no solution. I'm just venting.
So here's the solution. And I'm going to throw an example out there that Asa can attest to is if you really love it and it's something that you want to, you have to be at every show.
And you do the homework because you want
and
to.
And I say that being somebody that's missing next month's.
Not your fault.
But not my fault. Yeah, work thing. But like, so we've mentioned Glory Pro a couple times tonight. There is like one going storyline right now, and it involves Espy. And we were talking.
There's the second one with Stallion.
Oh yeah. Well, there's been one ongoing since Glory Pro was started.
That's true.
And it's Espy and Sean Orleans. And we came in at about midway, and now they're at the point where Sean Orleans is now Espy's manager. And we were talking to him about it, about how much we've loved the matches and the buildup. And he said, yeah, no, the reason that happened was the first one we went to, Espy lost a match in 5 seconds. Just hit the corner, pinned him. The reason that was so impactful, because we didn't know this, that Espy beat Sean Orleans in 70 seconds, 2 shows before that. Now, is it their fault that we weren't at that show and they didn't explain that? Or is it one of those being like, maybe we should have done the homework, but we reacted accordingly anyway?
But to be fair, that was at the show.
What was?
The previous one was on the show. It wasn't a thing they filmed for Facebook that you had to go see.
Well, yeah, but we can also say that, I mean, they have the same last name. We saw Otis come out of nowhere and kill Dexter.
Like, what I would have liked is after Otis came out the first time.
Yeah.
I know Sin Jackson doesn't really do interviews because his character, but at least have something, have him come to the ring and just say, like, Dexter, you guys, this is my brother Otis. Just something to establish.
This is a thing where those characters
don't talk.
They
don't care.
There's an aura of mystery about them. And for you run the risk, like, that's a real fine line before you get super exposition heavy. And it's out of character to just be like, ah, yes, my brother is here. Like, it's
to be fair, it's also out of character to go around slapping hands and fist bumping on your way out.
I had a line to cover that in Fight TV.
You did, and I'm proud of you.
We just haven't gotten
there yet. But I'm just saying. I know everyone's thinking like, oh, this guy is going off on CCW. Like, I'm not. Like, if you love something, you can criticize it. That should be a rule, right? If you love something, you can criticize it.
It's a situation where, like, it would be helpful if they had, like, a mouthpiece, like someone to...
Sorry to cut you off, but I think, would it be better if maybe, like, because they're obviously in a feud with Ace and... That group that is now just Ace and Cody at this point. If Ace and Cody kind of did the talking and they always shut them up. The last show, like, Cody had the mic, it was like, oh, it's Otis, the guy who kind of came out of nowhere. Can you talk?
I mean, buddy?
He just, like, slams them on the ground.
You could even have Ace and Cody come out and Ace say, I have no idea who that is. I looked it up and this is what I found out. You know, there's ways to establish it.
Right.
I think. But again, I'm not just trying to like bash it. Mostly it's just frustration because I agree with you guys that they deserve a better reaction for what they were doing than what they got. You don't take dragon suplexes off the top rope. You don't take spiked Hurricanranas and not get like a strong reaction for that. To me, that's criminal. And I think that's the point we all want.
It was unfortunate. It was in front of the wrong kind of crowd.
Now, otherwise for the show, though, the rest of the show, still really good. Unfortunately, Billy Hills couldn't wrestle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is injured.
Yeah, that sucks.
Wishing him the best. Like, that's all. That's literally all we can do.
Well, and, like, I messaged Shannon because I wanted to take, like, a minute, like, at the end of the show, but I'll just do it now because, like,
well,
so
good news.
in the last month, we've had Billy's got hurt twice now. Like, we saw him get hurt again in his match against EC3. We've seen Austin Lane break a rib. We saw Snim snap his leg in two places. We had Marco. I don't know what the injury is.
He dislocated his elbow.
I don't think it was broken, but so he dislocated his elbow. Justin Smart is wrestling with hurt with broken ribs.
Brandon had a concussion.
Austin Lane ruptured his eardrum and detached his retina. Just like these guys, like Mathis went into the bed of tax, which, like, all things considered, like, that was done safely.
that was the best outcome.
Like, it's a great visual, but it's, you know, but it's a great wrestling thing because it is a great visual without it being, like, super overly dangerous.
Yeah.
But it's still dangerous, like, to see that. Hollis worked three matches in a night. Like,
and not just regular matches.
No. Two of those matches were, one of them was a monsters brawl and the other one was a ladder match.
Right.
We saw, you know, Mikey on his birthday, you know, wrestle a ladder match just to then get on the road and drive to Texas.
Yeah.
That night. Like, this show really kind of put a whole new, like, outlook for me on it where it's like, yeah, these men and women are destroying their bodies for us, like, and for the crowd. And I just wanted to take a second and express just that admiration and thanks because, like, it's not a joke when I say, like, I am terrible. Like, I hate pain. Like, if something doesn't go my way on, like, my week is ruined. I cannot imagine breaking a bone and then continuing to do something physically grueling. I would be done. Like, nope, just, I, like, it's the joke that, you know, original Sin Cara, like, sprained his pinky in the middle of a match and shut it down.
That would be you.
That would absolutely be me. But it's, so just, like, the heart and dedication that these people have is unparalleled. Like, there's no, I can't think of another line of work outside of, like, doctors and fire and policemen who are, like, willing to just, oh no, yeah, like, that just kind of comes with it.
There was a part during the show where, and it was only like a handful of fans, but, and it was mostly people that know us from the show, where they started chanting, "Thank you, Shannon." Mm-hmm. They started saying that. And I've never been, like, happier and also more ashamed. Because, and I immediately, I don't know if you guys heard this, but I immediately got on the mic and said,
yeah, no.
Do not thank me, thank everyone else back there. Because I agree with you, like, I feel really happy that I get to do this, but I am in such a nothing compared to what those guys do. Like, there is no reason you should be thanking me for going out and talking on a microphone when you got guys going through tables, landing on tacks, breaking bones, getting paid not great, I assume. It's indie wrestling. It's a passion project. Yeah. And they're doing this just for the entertainment of everybody else. Like, the fact that I got that, and that I got anything, and then Otis and Cody worked a match where it was relatively quiet, like, I hate that. Like, mm-hmm. In no way do I or any of us deserve any kind of credit that you should be giving the guys that are actually going there hurting themselves. That's just my opinion. And I've had people argue with me and say, no, you know, you guys are a part of the entertainment. Well, yes, we are. But at the same time, like, it doesn't compare.
But it's a much smaller part.
We do not put our bodies on the line.
We're the cherry on top.
Yeah, yes. No, we're the TV aspect of it.
We're the
you can appreciate us on Fight TV.
Right.
It.
We're the field goal. We're the point after touchdown.
Yeah, like, we're
cheer for the touchdown.
Yeah, you need you to really appreciate, like, you can go on Fight TV and appreciate CCW Chaos.
Or listen to our show, like, now.
But the real way to appreciate CCW is to going to it.
Yeah. And not even just like CCW. Like,
if you have a local promotion near you.
Right.
Like, we can talk about Stride all day long. Because
it's the same thing with, like, Stride and Glory Pro, like, because they're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's people working hurt all the time. And it's just that the idea of working hurt is insane to me. Like, granted, I don't have a passion for any job that I've had, but it's one of those things where it's like,
hurt, stay home.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I don't feel that good. I'm going to see if I can get this shift covered. Okay, cool. I'm just going to, you know, nap for another 3 hours.
I've taken a couple of days off from the store. I don't really do anything here. Mm-hmm. Like, I check people out and I help. Yeah, I do my job. But there's a lot of time where it's a lot of downtime. I don't do anything. And I always told Lindsay, you know, who's on the Thursday show and the Sunday show sometimes, how much respect I have for her. Because in the 10 years that I've known her, she's missed 1-2 days of work max. When she's sick, she goes to work. When she's hurt, she goes to work. She never stays home. And then you have other people that call in for, I sneezed, I'm going to take the day off.
That's right. I'm hungover.
And
I can't work.
And that's so frustrating. And yeah, like if you love these guys, man, you got to show appreciation for them because they are hurting themselves for your entertainment.
If you're listening to this show, you kind of understand. But if you listen to the show and you have an opportunity to go to local wrestling and you're not going to local wrestling, do us a favor. If you, I would say before donating money to Patreon for us, go see your local indie show.
Well, do yourself, and really it's like do yourself a favor because it's like there are some, like I guarantee you there's probably someone at that show who is going to explode soon.
Yeah.
Who is just on the cusp of moving or like going farther and farther out. Like there's no doubt in my mind that guys like, you know, I don't think there's anyone on the CCW roster who doesn't have the potential of making it big just nationwide.
Yeah.
But it's like guys that like SB and Ace is in Europe right now.
Hollis.
You know, Hollis going all over. Mikey is going everywhere.
Marco.
Yeah.
Is a
it's
huge
just like
prospect.
Just, you know, seeing on Facebook just like all of these places, you know, Billy and Sarah and Roger going to Tennessee and like, you know, it's awesome to see like where these people are going and just like how much farther.
And then you also have like real legends like Austin Lane,
yeah.
Like Sexy Sarge O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. You can see guys like that who have donated so much to the business and are still at the top of their game, even, you know, now.
Right.
It's, and we're not just saying this because we like want to promote what we work for.
We would be having this conversation.
We love the show.
We would be having this conversation whether or not we were at all involved in CCW.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you can go back to the first episodes of the first few times we went to CCW.
With no attachments.
Where there was no attachment. We knew no one there except for like, we knew Ken.
Osby.
And yeah.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. And like, and you were friends with Osby. But though, like, but that was it. Like, we didn't think they would listen. We didn't think they were going to, you know, pay any attention to
we
us.
We were a bunch of jackasses. One of us sent a message. Hey, can you record a promo and we'll put it on the show?
And Billy did, sleepily.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else did too, didn't they? Austin.
Austin
Lane did. Yeah, no. So
and Brandon.
It's one of those just being like, we just lucked into it. So,
but we
like,
had, but we had the talent to back it up.
Oh no, yeah,
well,
yeah.
We lucked into it, and we appreciate the fans' appreciation. But that's what the like, that's what our Facebook page is for. Go to Podzilla1985 and tell us how much you love us at CCW. Do like
the, you can cheer for us at the show. My rule is it's the soda to water rule for me. If I drink one glass of soda, I gotta drink two glasses of water.
So if you chant Mr. 100, you better be losing your mind at those.
You gotta
those matches.
Double chant for the matches.
And I know you're listening. I don't know. We've been going for 2 hours. I hope you're still listening.
Granted, if you're listening, you were still. You were the ones that were chaining for everything and cheering.
So right.
Like,
if you're listening to the show, more than likely you're not the problem.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting with people, because people will feed off of you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're sitting with people that aren't being loud, talk to them. That's... Say like, oh, that's Otis. He's Jackson's brother. You know, say the things that we can't say.
Mm-hmm. Be plants.
Be plants. Well, you're a part.
You're
you
planted
are,
in the crowd.
We've said this before. You are part of the show.
Yeah.
You really are. You are absolutely part of the show. We can't do it without
for,
you.
And I'm not saying for CCW crowd or anything, but it's like, it's for better or worse. A good crowd can make a good show great. A terrible crowd can make a good show bad.
Yeah.
Think back to when Seth Rollins and Finn Balor wrestled for the Universal Championship for the first time. And the crowd did nothing but chant about
the belt.
The belt.
About the belt. Like, that match was good. But you can't watch it with sound on anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with like NXT. So it's not like, no one has an obligation. You paid your money and you're there and you're there to act how you want. You know, there's a line. You can't jump the barrier. You can't, you know, chant swear words or slurs or anything like that. But, you know, you have the chance to express yourself. Like, you know, we see Caleb bringing signs, Big Nasty brings the tables, like people like that, like people get involved and it's awesome. I wish people would kind of, you know, don't cheer Jeff O'Dell. Why are you cheering Jeff O'Dell?
Stop throwing up the pinnacle
sign. He's amazing. Yeah. It's like, but hey, you're involved in the show and I love it.
Yeah.
Like I was sitting next to Jeff, who super into the pinnacle the whole night. And that was super fun sitting next to him and just kind of like dueling chants and stuff like that.
Because he's having fun.
Because he was having fun.
He's not being a jerk about it.
And he was being vocal about it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And if there's enough people in the crowd that are willing to, you know, give that level of excitement, it is contagious.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, not negativity, that's not fair. But also just that quiet, quiet reservedness is also kind of contagious. So if you're sitting by yourself and like the three people around you are just kind of watching, it's real easy to be like, I don't have to.
Cause you don't want to be the odd man out cheering when no one else is. That's us at the first show.
Ace has seen me do that at a wrestling show where there was something I was really hyped for, but the person sitting right next to me wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of was reserved. Me. And like that happened to me. And the best way I can say it is like you didn't pay money to go see an opera.
Right.
Like, this is your like, are you quiet at a Def Leppard concert? No, you're not. You're yelling, pour some sugar on me.
It's professional.
That was a weird one.
It's wrestling.
But it's where I went. But, like, yeah, no, you're at a wrestling show.
A lot about your music taste.
Oh, yeah, I love Def Leppard. But, like, yeah, no, you're at a show where, like, being loud is okay.
Yeah.
Like, this, and it's a show. Like, that is what it is for. Indulge in it. As Tom would say, treat yourself.
Watch the.
Wait, like, who's Tom?
From Parks and Rec.
Haverford.
Oh, okay.
I will say watching the little kids get super into it
is the best.
Is
the
one
best
of my
thing.
Like,
yeah.
That is one of my favorite things. Yeah. Just like it's like yeah, that's.
It
what
reminds
it's about.
You why you love it so much.
Yeah, there was like a little kid sitting behind me at Glory Pro making comments about everybody's ring music.
That was amazing.
Yeah, because like so one of them came out to Immortals by Fall Out Boy, mm-hmm. And he's by his dad. That's a normal song.
That's a real song.
And I just looked over at Ace and I was like, well, there's my line of the day.
But he also the entire time was like explaining who these wrestlers were to his dad.
Yeah.
Who I guarantee you is. The one who brought him to every single one of these shows.
Yeah, right. No, that's
and
adorable.
This kid knew more about the storylines and the wrestlers than we did.
Yeah, there was stuff I was missing.
There was
apparently.
Fun, like we were picking up fun facts about people, and I just
felt like I needed to slip that kid a 20 because I knew right? So much more about the show. But like, yeah, no. So like, if you're going to a wrestling show, go to a wrestling show. Trust me, nobody's going to judge you for like, cheering unless you're being a jerk off. Like that's literally that's
which,
the line.
Which thankfully we don't have a CCW nearly
yeah, no,
as
yeah.
much anymore.
No, yeah, we they're like early on it kind of seemed like there was a little bit of that, but yeah, now that there's just like everyone's super respectful, like no one's chanting
and they're into it because CCW yeah. really makes you feel like you're a part of the family.
Yeah. Yeah,
they truly do. It's a great show. So that's it.
I'm not gonna lie, I haven't ate since noon.
Well, we're getting out of here. Yeah. All right, we're getting out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with the last installment of Podzilla 1985. Are you afraid of PZ85 After Dark? Ooh. Oh, yeah. It's going to be spooky.
Good job there.
So, yeah. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a good night. No, you can keep talking. What
are
you gonna
say? Well, I was going to say, do you guys know what you're doing for the Halloween edition of I Want to Believe?
Yes. I'll mention that real quick. It involves Ouija boards. It involves Kinect sensors. And trying to literally summon demons.
So I'm not going to be at the store for like.
But we're
days
also going to have a Halloween party that night. So.
Well, I will be skipping.
No.
No.
No. No.
We'll send a demon to get you. We'll send Kane.
You can't beat him.
That's the feud. He's the devil's favorite demon. So Finn Balor is the demon king.
So, okay. Oh, God.
Is Finn's his dad?
No. This is the next hour.
We're opening the show again.
All right. You know, I'm good for another hour of not eating. Let's do this.
All I want to say is like, I heard someone say that if the story turns out to be that he has to become the demon Balor to defeat Kane because he can't beat him on his own, I will scream. And I agree with that. I don't want to establish this continuity that Balor is, like you said, Dalton, in the game, separate from the demon.
No, no.
It's the same guy.
Here's the
thing. It's the same man.
It's gonna be Kane comes out. He comes out first. He's ready to go. The Demon King comes out, gets in the ring, and Kane just like, oh, sorry, boss.
Lays my liege.
Lays down.
And he
didn't know it was the same guy.
Notice me, senpai. Notice me.
All right, that's the end of the show. Good night.